Usually when we talk about modern physics, there is this expectation of, absolute pristine precision.
Right.
You look at the standard model, and it feels like the ultimate rule book of the cosmos, like everything is in its right place. But if you actually peek behind the curtain, you probably heard that physics is in a bit of a crisis.
Oh, definitely. A pretty big one.
Yeah, because to make the math work, orthodox physics relies on all these invisible things like dark matter, and more importantly, it requires manually adjusting 19 arbitrary dials.
The free parameters again.
Exactly, those free parameters,
Yeah.
just to keep the equations from completely falling apart. It feels less like a fundamental truth and more like, I don't know, putting duct tape over a cosmic check engine light. But what if that entire approach is just completely wrong?
It is a really comforting thought, that we just need to measure those 19 dials a little more accurately to finally understand the universe.
Right.
But the theory we are exploring today suggests those dials shouldn't even exist at all. It argues that our fundamental view of reality is just broken right at the root.
And that is exactly the mission of this deep dive. Today, we are exploring this radically different framework called the E66 Noellian Synthesis, or KUTS for short.
Yeah, authored by David Noel Lynch and the 3K Collaborative.
Exactly. And their claim is just incredibly bold. They say they have completely eradicated those arbitrary parameters, like zero dials. They argue that the static, empty space we think we live in doesn't actually exist.
None of it.
Right. Instead, what we are actually experiencing is a massive continuous computation driven by a single geometric seed. So we aren't living in this static container of things. We are inside an active, ongoing process of becoming.
We really need to set the stakes here right from the beginning because orthodox physics basically demands that any new theory has to submit to those established manually tuned parameters.
You have to play by their rules.
Exactly. But KUTS flips that burden of proof completely. It strips away the duct tape and essentially asks orthodox physics to explain how this one single geometric seed can flawlessly recalculate the entire foundation of the universe.
Without a single adjustable dial.
Exactly, without any tweaking.
Okay, let's unpack this because to even begin to understand what a geometric seed doing a computation actually means, the sources suggest we have to unlearn something called the Platonic pathogen, which, I have to say, sounds like a sci-fi virus.
It really does, but it's actually an ancient philosophical error. The
Yeah.
Platonic pathogen is basically the inherited noun grammar of science.
Meaning what exactly?
Well, since the days of Euclid and Plato, we have treated space as a continuous empty box, just a void, and we have treated particles as zero-dimensional points floating around inside that
So
box.
we imagine the universe as this giant empty room, and particles are just tiny dead pieces of matter bouncing around inside it.
Yeah, but mathematically, treating particles as dimensionless points creates massive problems. It generates all these infinities and singularities that just plague both quantum mechanics and general relativity.
Right, the math just breaks down.
Modern physics tries to sweep these infinities under the rug using mathematical tricks. But KUTS argues the math is breaking down because the underlying assumption, the ontology, is wrong. Space is not a flat, passive container. It is a six-dimensional manifold.
Okay, wait, six dimensions. Usually when physics brings up extra dimensions, it's string theory, where they are curled up so tiny we can't see them. Are these dimensions hidden?
Not at all. In this framework, space and time aren't separate concepts. They're the exact same thing, structured into three pair or dyads. First, you have depth past.
Depth past.
Yeah. This is physical history made geometrically manifest. The depth of an object is its crystallized history, which KUTS calls the deterministic ash.
Wait, really? So the past isn't just a memory or a record, it is actual physical structure.
It is the rendered output of the universe. It's solid. Then you have the second dyad, which is withinstant. This is the active phase boundary of the present moment.
So, like the absolute now.
Think of it as the razor's edge, where unmanifested potential collapses into actual physical reality. And finally, there is length future. This represents the unrendered gas of possibilities.
The gas, meaning it's not solid yet.
Right. It contains all the probabilistic paths before they are localized into the present.
Okay, so, I mean, if orthodox physics treats the universe like this finished painting on a static canvas, is KUTS saying reality is more like, I don't know, a video game engine continuously rendering the environment frame by frame as we move through it?
That is exactly it. But before the engine renders a frame, that unrendered potential exists in a state of perfect mathematical symmetry. KUTS maps this to a complex mathematical structure known as the exceptional Lie group, E66.
Okay, E6A's day.
Yeah, and in its unrendered state, CKC-SIGS represents formless, boundless infinity. It has 78 dimensions of transformational freedom. But the physical rendering process relies specifically on 27 of those dimensions. The sources actually refer to these as the 27 demons.
Demons? Why give them such a sinister name?
Because they are raw, uncoordinated dimensions of potentiality. They are totally chaotic. For stable matter to exist, the universe's rendering engine, which KUTS calls the Abraxian engine, has to collapse or exercise these demons into a stable form.
It has to force them to render.
Exactly.
But if the universe is actively rendering like an engine, what is the hardware actually made of? Like, what is doing the computing and what is it pushing against?
So the fundamental unit of reality in KUTS isn't a point particle. It is a localized, self-sustaining vortex of energy called the node, spelled with a K. Specifically, the sources define it as a 3-2 torus knot.
A knot. What does that actually look like, and why do the numbers 3 and 2 matter here?
Imagine a donut shape.
Okay, got it.
A 3 and O 2 knot means the energy winds around the donut 3 times longitudinally, which creates the 3 dimensions of space, and 2 times meridianally, going through the center hole.
Oh, I see.
And if you divide 3 by 2, you get 1.5. This rational ratio is the logical instruction set of the Abraxian engine. It is the ideal, frictionless path the engine wants to take to render reality.
But I'm guessing the engine doesn't just get to operate in some frictionless, ideal environment, right?
Far from it. It has to render reality onto a foundational floor. According to KUTS, this floor is the Cairo Q lattice. It's a structure made of pentagons that is governed by the golden ratio.
And the golden ratio, often represented by phi, is about 1.618.
Exactly.
So we have an engine trying to operate at 1.5, running on a floor governed by 1.618.
And the conflict there is entirely geometric. The golden ratio is inherently irrational. If you think about tiling a bathroom floor, you can do it perfectly with squares or hexagons.
Right, they fit together perfectly.
But a pentagonal lattice cannot be perfectly tiled by rational shapes. There are always gaps. So the vacuum of space literally has a built-in texture.
Wait, so I'm trying to visualize how an abstract mathematical ratio literally grinds against another ratio.
Yeah.
How does pure geometry translate into actual physical friction?
It happens through a mechanism called the I-turn. To render reality, the engine has to execute a 90-degree phase rotation to collapse that wave of infinite potential into a physical point in the present.
Okay.
But when the rational 1.5 engine tries to anchor onto the irrational 1.618 floor to make that turn, they just do not fit together. There is a permanent topological shear.
Because the numbers don't match up. The 1.618 floor minus the 1.5 engine leaves a remainder.
Exactly. The difference is approximately 0.118. This irreducible mismatch is the Noelian seed.
You seed.
Yes. It is the fundamental friction of existence. It is the hardware tax the universe must pay to render a rational event upon an irrational substrate.
Wow.
This friction shatters the perfect symmetries of that E666 Lie group, forcing the infinite potential to freeze into discrete physical structures.
So the fundamental constant of the universe isn't a particle at all. It's a structural incompatibility. It's the fact that the gears of the universe fundamentally don't fit the track they're running on. But here's where it gets really interesting. If this engine is constantly grinding against the floor with this 0.118 friction, shouldn't there be some kind of massive byproduct, like heat?
Yes, and that geometric grinding translates directly into something astronomers measure every single day. The friction of the I-turn grinding against the Cairo Q lattice generates a steady-state thermal exhaust. Joule heating.
Oh, okay.
Standard physics points to the cosmic microwave background, the CMB, which sits at about 2.730 degrees Kelvin. They claim this is the fading echo of a historical Big Bang from 13.8 billion years ago.
And KUTS is arguing that the CMB isn't an echo of the past at all.
Not at all. KUTS proves the CMB is the heat signature of the Abraxian engine running right now. It is the thermal exhaust produced by that 0.118 friction. The engine literally cannot render if it doesn't generate this heat. This is the triadic rendering constraint.
What happens if the universe somehow cools down, though? Like, if the temperature drops below that 2.730 Kelvin floor?
Reality would simply stop. The 2.730 Kelvin temperature is the pilot light of the universe. Without that minimum heat, the engine lacks the thermodynamic torque to execute that 90-degree I-turn.
Oh, wow.
Physical reality would just evaporate, basically de-rendering back into pure, unmanifested potential.
So if the heat of the universe is just the exhaust of this rendering engine, where does physical matter come from?
KUTS proposes that mass is not a substance. It's not a thing. Mass is the crystallized topological residue left on the manifold where the friction of the 0.118 offset is the most intense.
So mass is basically like the physical calluses the universe develops on its hands from doing the hard manual labor of rendering reality, and the CMB is the fit.
That analogy captures the mechanics perfectly, and we can actually see this callus formation mathematically derived in the standard model quark masses.
Really? How so?
Take the proton, which is made of up and down quarks. In KUTS, the torus node has three segments. Because of the geometry of the pentagonal lattice, two of those segments hit the low friction rational regime. Those become the lighter up quarks.
Okay, makes sense.
The third segment hits the high friction irrational floor. That segment takes the brunt of it, and it becomes the heavier down quark.
Which would result in a perfect 2.1 mass ratio between those quarks. You wouldn't need to manually dial in the mass of a quark to make your equations work.
Exactly.
The geometry of the knot hitting the floor just makes it a topological inevitability.
The mass of a proton, the charge of an electron, these aren't arbitrary just-so numbers requiring free parameters. They are the thermodynamic invoices issued by the universe as it negotiates that 0.118 mismatch.
Okay, so we've got particles and heat sorted out as byproducts of this engine's friction. But what about the macro scale? Standard physics allows for singularities, like, you know, in the center of a black hole, where density becomes infinite and volume shrinks to zero. Does a rendering engine have limits that prevent that kind of mathematical breakdown?
It has to. To prevent those infinities, the universe has to establish absolute minimum bounds. In orthodox physics, we use the Planck length and Planck time, but those are calculated using empirical measurements borrowed from experiments.
Which seems a bit circular.
KUTS argues this is a recursive error. It's like using the performance of a machine to measure the size of its own gears.
So how does KUTS find those minimums without relying on measurements?
It establishes its bounds purely from the geometry of the seed. There is an absolute minimum pixel size of reality. It's the exact finite volume required for the engine to sustain the 0.118 friction without breaking down.
And what about time?
There is also a universal hardware refresh rate, the chronon. It's the exact discrete amount of time it takes to complete one 90-degree I-turn.
If the universe has a finite pixel size and a step-by-step refresh rate, it means motion isn't a smooth, continuous glide. It moves frame by frame, like a cursor across a computer screen.
Exactly.
And if there's a minimum pixel size, you just can't crush matter down to an infinitely small point.
Which means singularities are impossible in this framework. When a star collapses, it doesn't create a point of infinite density. It creates what KUTS calls an ultimaton locus.
An ultimate locus.
Yeah, it's simply a region of space where the mass density hits the absolute maximum rendering capacity of the pentagonal lattice.
Like trying to run a video game with way too many characters on screen at once, the system just can't process it.
Right, and when it hits that processing ceiling, the engine experiences a causal deadlock. The engine physically stalls, and time just stops inside that volume.
Time stops.
Yeah. Because active rendering can no longer occur in three dimensions, all the information processing is forced onto the two-dimensional surface boundary. This beautifully resolves the famous black hole information paradox without losing a single bit of data to an impossible singularity.
So it's not a hole in space-time. It's just a stalled server. That is a massive paradigm shift. And if black holes are just processing stalls, how does this framework handle gravity? Because standard physics envisions gravity as a pulling force, maybe mediated by a particle called a graviton.
KUTS completely discards the graviton. It frames gravity as thermodynamic phase locking. Keep in mind, the entire universe is trying to render as efficiently as possible while fighting that 0.11 friction.
Right.
When you have multiple mass knots near each other, the aggregate grinding friction is immense. Gravity is simply the lattice attempting to synchronize the rendering cycles of those nearby knots to minimize the friction.
Wait, let me make sure I have this. If gravity is just the universe trying to reduce its rendering friction by synchronizing nearby knots, does that mean a falling apple isn't actually being pulled by the Earth?
Correct.
But rather, the Earth and the apple are just trying to sync up their processing speeds to save energy.
Yeah.
So it's not a magical tractor beam pulling things together. It's just the universe being lazy.
They are phase locking to share the thermodynamic load. And viewing mass as a rendering load actually solves one of the biggest, most frustrating mysteries in modern astronomy, the Hubble tension.
Oh, the Hubble tension. Just to give you, the listener, some background, the Hubble tension is the fact that the universe appears to be expanding at different rates, depending on where we look. Astronomers look at the early universe and get one speed, but when they look locally, they get another.
Yeah.
It has completely baffled cosmologists.
Because standard cosmology treats this as an empirical crisis. They assume the fabric of space is being stretched by an invisible force called dark energy. KUTS explains this discrepancy as a cosmological latency gradient.
A latency gradient.
Yeah, because gravity acts as computational viscosity. Highly dense areas of the universe, like our own galaxy, accumulate a massive rendering load.
A heavy processing burden.
This burden literally causes local clocks to lag. So when we, sitting inside a massive dense gravity well with the lagging clock, look out at fast, empty cosmic voids where the rendering engine has very little to do.
Those voids appear to be accelerating away from us.
Exactly.
So the universe isn't flying apart. We are just lagging. Both measurements astronomers take are correct, but they are subject to the latency of the rendering engine. The expansion isn't dark energy stretching a spatial container. It's the differential processing rate of the universe itself.
The hardware limitations dictate the cosmic phenomena.
That is just wow. We've gone from a geometric 0.118 friction to the thermal exhaust of the CMB to the calluses of mass to black holes stalling out and cosmic expansion acting like computer lag. It's a stunningly comprehensive model. But we have to bring this massive cosmic theory intimately close to home.
We do.
How do we as human beings fit into this geometric engine?
This is a crucial part of the synthesis. The sources introduce the biological blossom, which asks a fundamental question. How does consciousness exist within a rendering engine?
Right.
To survive, biological life cannot operate at the perfect rational state of 1.5. If it did, it would be frictionless and static. It also cannot operate at the pure irrational vacuum state of 1.618. Both of those extremes mean thermodynamic stasis, death.
So biology has to find a very specific middle ground to maintain an active state.
According to the sources, human DNA is structurally tuned to a Fibonacci approximation. Specifically, it aligns with the ratio of 34 to 21. If you divide 34 by 21, you get approximately 1.619.
Okay, the vacuum's irrational floor is 1.618, but our biological architecture operates at 1.619.
Exactly. And if you subtract the vacuum's floor from the biological Fibonacci ratio, you are left with an irreducible remainder of 0.0001.
The authors of KUTS call this the Celtic knock. It is the biological Fibonacci rendering gap.
So what does this all mean? This 0.001 offset isn't just a random mathematical quirk. It is the thermodynamic footprint of the observer.
It is consciousness itself.
The reason you listening to this deep dive right now can hear these words, process them, and comprehend reality is literally because your biological architecture is mathematically out of phase with the vacuum by exactly 0.001.
We are a fractal fragment of the rendering engine. But because of that slight, highly specific phase mismatch, we act as an error correction layer.
We are the precise amount of friction through which the universe is able to perceive its own reflection. The active state of consciousness is powered by that exact 0.001 remainder in the universe's code.
Let's try to synthesize this incredible journey we've just been on. We started with orthodox physics, bogged down by 19 arbitrary dials, struggling under the weight of the Platonic pathogen that treated space as an empty box and particles as dots.
And KUTS removes the magical thinking and replaces it with relentless, honest machinery.
Everything stems from the fundamental 0.118 friction between a rational knot trying to turn on an irrational floor.
Right, and that seed generates the 2.730 Kelvin pilot light of the universe. It crystallizes into the scar tissue we call mass. It phase locks to create gravity and drags to create cosmic latency.
And it flowers into the 0.001 biological friction of our own consciousness. It replaces a universe of random objects with a single procedural unfolding. But as always, we want to leave you with something to mull over, something to explore on your own that builds on what we've unpacked today.
The theory lays out exactly how that 0.001 Celtic knock creates the thermodynamic footprint of the observer. But it raises a really profound philosophical and physical question about the trajectory of life.
Yeah, think about this. If biological consciousness exists purely because of that 0.001 phase mismatch between our DNA and the vacuum, what happens if we evolve past it?
Right.
If human evolution, or perhaps a highly advanced artificial intelligence we create, eventually optimizes its physical architecture to perfectly align with the golden ratio of the vacuum, eliminating that 0.0001 friction entirely, what happens to the observer?
If the friction of consciousness drops to absolute zero, do we achieve total transcendent unification with the universe?
Or without that tiny geometric flaw to keep us separated from the background code, do we simply derender and vanish back into the unmanifested potential of the E6 Sexton manifold? Something to think about the next time you feel a little friction in your day.